Testament reading from Genesis and the Gospel reading from Luke, which gives Luke's version of the Lord's Prayer. I want to talk about both these texts in a minute, but first I want to say a few words about prayer. Personal prayer, that is, not the corporate prayer we take part in when we take part in the liturgy on a Sunday morning. It's not something you hear spoken about much from the pulpit, or at least I have only heard a few sermons on prayer in my time in the pews. I think there are two reasons for that. One is that it is hard to talk about without sounding pious and churchy. And we all know, I think, that we fall short of the mark on a lot of things, particularly our prayer life. And that's because of the second reason it's hard to talk about prayer. Prayer is in and of itself hard. Prayer is about communication with God. It's how we establish and then develop our relationship with the God we come to know through Jesus. Whether we are praying to God the Father, or to Jesus himself, or to the Holy Spirit, Jesus is the one who has opened up the relationship through his words and actions, as communicated to us in the Gospels. This is the great message of John's Gospel, that it is Jesus who has opened up for us a way into the familial relationship between Creator, Redeemer, and Sanctifier that lies at the heart of God. Establishing a relationship with God, however we do so, is going to be one of the toughest things that we as human beings do. Stretching our limited human consciousness to try and touch the divine consciousness is not easy. In fact, communication with another person is always hard, even when the other person is not a person of the Trinity. And even though most of us come to prayer through petition, asking God for help or for things we need, as we grow more deeply into prayer, we discover there is a lot more to it than simple petition, important as that is. We find out that, as with all communication, the hard part is not talking, but listening. Prayer includes learning to listen to what God has to say to us, resting in silence and waiting for God to speak, to touch our heart, to answer what we are saying to God. We often speak as though we are restricting God's answer to prayer to just giving us what we ask for. But of course, that is far from all. Even in communication among human beings, it wouldn't be much of a relationship if all you did was to ask the other person for something and then wait with your hands out. No, God replies to us, to our prayer, in many ways, often in the quiet places and times of our souls. As we come before God in meditative prayer or look for answers to our dilemmas or troubles. What do the readings today contribute to our understanding of prayer? In the reading from Genesis, Abraham is concerned about his nephew Lot, who has moved to the district of the cities of the plain, Sodom and Gomorrah. The two did not part completely happily and don't seem to be on good terms, but Abraham still does not want the cities of the plain destroyed with his nephew and his family only. So he has a conversation with God. More than that, he argues with God. Surely God wouldn't destroy the cities if they contain 50 righteous inhabitants? How would that look? Shall not the judge of all the earth do what is just? And so Abraham bargains God down till he gets to 10. Surely God won't destroy the cities if they contain parts of the plain are in fact destroyed, and although Lot and some of his family are saved from that destruction, he does not come out of the story well on account of his behavior before, during, and after his rescue. So Abraham gets some of what he wants, but not all, and not the way he wanted it. This can happen to any of us in prayer, too. The gospel reading has more to teach us. It starts with Luke's version of the Lord's Prayer, which comes to us both in Matthew's gospel and here in Luke. Luke's version of the Lord's Prayer is shorter than the more familiar version of Matthew, and the wording is slightly different. Some scholars think Luke's version reflects a tradition that was more focused on living in the in-between time, the time between Jesus coming as Messiah and the day of the Lord, while Matthew's version is more concentrated on the nearness of the end time. Be that as it may, the recollection in Luke's tradition of the Lord's Prayer suggests some important truths about prayer. We learn from this account of prayer that it is a good thing to ask for God's help in prayer. The disciples asked to be taught to pray, as John the Baptist had taught his disciples to pray. God knows that prayer is hard for us, and God is ready to help. More important, though, is that the context of this story about the Lord's Prayer echoes a point made in the Abraham story about persistent prayer. We should be not just persistent, but constant in prayer. Look at the parable of the unwilling friend and the loaves of bread. No, we must ask, search, and knock on the door. If we do so, our questions will be answered, the objects of our search revealed, and doors open. Jesus' words affirm to us that we will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit if we are persistent and constant in prayer. And the Holy Spirit is the key to the life that St. Paul describes in the Colossians passage. There is no other way to continue to live our lives in Jesus the Messiah except with the help of the Holy Spirit, the advocate promised by Jesus himself. So we need to be constant in prayer, in season and out of season. Originally, this was part of St. Paul's advice to Timothy about preaching, that he should preach the word in season and out of season. But it applies equally well to prayer, perhaps even better, because we can all pray, and pray more persistently than any of us can preach. One result of such a prayer life, which I am still far short of attaining, is the ability to also be